precious Jesus. We're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus. And we lift our hands before you as a token of our love, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit, as we lift our voice before you as a token of our love, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, who alone does great wonders. He created the heavens, the earth, and each one of us. Our God has made the stars, planets, sun, and moon. God chose the people of Israel to be his children and nation. God sent his only Son to walk among us, teach us, heal us, and die for us. God is patient, forgiving, and loving. God saves us from our sin. God promises to be with us here on earth and will lead us to be with him in heaven. His love endures forever.
Seat. I think you're all done for this morning. Wasn't that a good song? Come. You know, you think of how many times someone prepares a great meal. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Someone goes through a lot of work, a lot of time to prepare the meal because they're glad that you have come. And once you're done eating, who cares? It was a great meal. Now it's time to watch football. Time to take a nap. Time to do whatever. But come. We're glad that you have come to Harbor of Joy this morning as well. Because there's nothing greater than to just, not just to come here, but it really is to come to know the Lord as your Savior. And that's really what that song is talking about. Come! You know, I wouldn't even have to preach. We could just sing the song and then have people respond to, you know, am I coming to Jesus today and to get things right with him? Okay, I'll just get on with the announcements. I won't start preaching here. I do want to thank those of you that have helped with getting Vacation Bible School ready for this coming week. It starts tomorrow. And that's, you know, the things you see on the floors. There's only one person that stepped on one of those things and it stuck to his tennis shoes. I won't say who it was, but they're out there to make you wonder, what is this all about? What is this on the floor? And that's the theme for this week. It's I wonder. There's a lot of wonder things that we've got questions we don't have answers to. And there will always be that. But this theme for this coming week for the kids, kindergarten through fourth grade, are going to be challenged with their questions. What kind of questions do they have about the Bible, about God? And guess who gets to answer them? Oh, Hannah, you can come and be the answer gal for all these kids. I guess I get to be kind of the answer guy. But I'm just going to let you know right now, I don't know everything. And there might be a lot of like, I don't know. Good question, but I don't know. But the Bible does answer a lot of questions that we do have. So thank you to all of you that have helped this coming week. You know that you see in the bulletin the names of some of those that had a big part in these things. And yesterday was the parade. We were out there throwing out not candy this year. We were throwing out what? Packages of goldfish, because no one could touch them. And it was an invite to kids to come to Vacation Bible School. So we don't know how many is going to come. There's about 20 or so that have signed up, have registered, but we always know there's others that come for this, and it builds as the week goes on. But we also then not only got to throw out goldfish, but we also got to throw out what, Carter? Where's Carter? Carter, you were sitting there. Oh, he's back there. What did we throw out, Carter? Yeah, beach balls. There was only some that were inflated, not very many, but they were deflated. We threw out beach balls. That also had an invite on those as well. So we hope that someone will get those and someone will come this week who got those, but there was like thousands of kids in Milford. And I'm not exaggerating. There was a lot of kids that were in the picking up candy that we didn't throw, and then we noticed there was a lot of candy left on the street. So I was glad we did not have to throw candy. But they picked up the things that we were throwing, and they seemed to enjoy getting those as well. And there was a lot left over. We had like 500 packages of a fish, and then there was 300 beach balls. We did not use them all. We came back for the first time with extras left over because we weren't sure how to throw them out. A lot of times you throw them all out in the beginning and you come to the end, you have nothing. Well, this year we had more than enough. And so just thank those of you that provided those kinds of things to be thrown out to invite kids to Vacation Bible School. And as we're throwing them, they're going like, come to Bible school, come to Bible school. Great time. Great time until the very end. I thought I could get out of the boat, and I thought I was young. And I thought I could just jump out of that boat and hit the parking lot out here and stand up, but I tumbled. And I realized I'm not a young guy anymore. And it was fine. I mean, I knew how to roll, even though I wasn't in the airborne, you know, when you parachute out of a perfectly good plane. But I rolled, I'm fine. Everybody's concerned that I broke something or had a heart attack or something. I'm not sure, but everything's good. Do want to, you know, there's a mural that was painted. Every year, Danny Utz paints something for a vacation Bible school. And she did an amazing job that you can see over on the left-hand side of the fellowship room. You can see that after church if you want to, but don't touch, just look. You got to tell the kids that because she put some things on her that make it 3D. You know, there's little animals that are glued to that, to the world scene that she made there, and it's just wonderful. Like, I heard today that the Utzes had a car accident last night. Danny was in the hospital overnight. She's just bruised. John was driving, and I don't know what happened, but he got checked out in the hospital too, but he didn't have to stay overnight. So they're just kind of bruised up, and they're not here today, but I just want you to know that they've always had a real heart for our VBS, and they would be here if they could have been, but it wasn't going to happen today. We're glad that they're doing well, even though they're banged up. So keep that in mind. I just want to also let you know that we'll let you know we need delegates for the LCMC convention that's going to be in Marion, Iowa. That's near Iowa City, I believe. If you want to be a delegate, make sure you see me. We'll have it in the bulletin one more time. Next week will be just the last call. If there is no one that wants to go to be to this convention, then Sharon and I will go. But we don't have to go. It'd be nice if somebody else in the church wanted to be a part of this as well. So just keep that in mind, and that's all the announcements I'm going to make. There's others in your bulletin, and we are... Oh, one more thing. Faith Lutheran. Oh, yeah, I got that, Ron. Saturday's coming. First Saturday of August. You know what we do, guys. Perkins, Milford, breakfast, 7:30 on Saturday. You are invited and welcome to be a part of that. And I want to let you know that I did talk to the pastor in Spencer about the church down there. And he told me that they had a work day yesterday. And I'm going like, well, I got to know sooner than 2 days before. I talked to him on Thursday. And I go, we got so much going on here with Pioneer Days and with Vacation Bible School and yet Bible Conference coming up. I go, it's not that we don't want to help. We need to know, but we need to know ahead of time what that is. So I didn't say anything because I didn't know anything until Thursday, and I just said that we wouldn't be a part of that because we got too much going on. So I just let you know that hopefully I'll hear from them again as far as what we can do in of being help to the church down there in Spencer, our sister church, Faith Lutheran. Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we will do the responsive reading here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us today. I know there's many people here that have no idea the preparation time and in the lives and in the minds of the musicians that have practiced before people came, that the songs we've heard, the songs that we've sung, and there's still more to come, but that we pray that it does help us to come to you today. And Lord, we just are grateful that John and Danny are gonna be okay. We are sorry that they had an accident, but it could have been a whole lot worse. And so we just pray for them as they heal and as they take care of their bumps and bruises and aches and pains that will be the result of this. May they know that we are praying for them and that we appreciate their involvement in making Vacation Bible School always an amazing place. Thank you for Marianne Seifer as well, who wouldn't be for her, a lot of this stuff wouldn't take place. We thank you for Amy Johnson for making it all take place and coordinating everything. And there's a lot that goes into before we have Vacation Bible School. There's a lot that goes in during this coming week, and then there's kind of like, where do you put everything afterwards? So it's a big job. But Lord, we pray for the kids that come. We pray for those who teach, for those that are part of being here this coming week, no matter what job they have. They are lights, they are the salt of the earth. And these kids have probably seen neither light nor the salt that you talk about in your word. And may we be that to each and every child that comes here. And we know that the ones that come here are the ones that you want to be here. So may we make them feel special. May they learn things that they would not probably learn otherwise. Because the things that they learn will be for eternity. They'll last forever. So many things that we learn about in life is just temporary. But we are going to learn things that will last forever and learn things about you, Lord, as far as who you are and what you have done and what you continue to do in this world as well as in our lives. Just to think that you love us so much that you sent us your Son, your one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us. And he rose again from the dead. And he continues to call out to us and tells us to come, get to know him, come and to believe in him. Give our hearts to him because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So thank you for what you are doing in our midst, not only today, but in the days to come. And we just praise your name for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. The responsive reading today, you know, sometimes it's easy just to go through the motions. You know, the pastor reads it and then the congregation reads it. We're going to do something a little different today with this because you remember sometimes things a little bit longer if you have to do it twice. So I'm going to read it the first time. You will say it. And I'm just going to read the same thing again the first time. So the second time you go like, oh yeah, that's what I read the first time. So it starts out this way. We're talking about peace. Peace I leave with you. This is Jesus speaking. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives.
Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you.
How many times did you play that in your house this week, Lynn?
A few.
I'm sure. Denny, did you hear her singing and playing this week? You knew something was coming, didn't you? Well, thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you. A lot of times you don't realize that any kind of music that you hear on a Sunday morning doesn't just happen like that. You don't know how difficult it is to sleep at night when you know you're going to be playing in church or singing in church. Who said amen? Oh, there. So I'm just going to say, you know, it's not an easy thing. And invite you to stand as we hear God's word here today. If you'd be so kind to stand if you can. If you can't, that's all right as well. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 16 to 30, and you're going to go like, didn't we hear this last week? And didn't we hear this the week before? Well, kind of. We just hear a little bit more today. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16 through 30. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Who are we talking about? Hey, very good. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. This is in Isaiah chapter 61, verse, the very first two verses of chapter 61. And Jesus reads this in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's all he read. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Aren't you lucky people? You got to hear this. And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb or a parable to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Whew. Give you goosebumps? Should. Let's pray. Lord, these words you have given to us in calling us to come to you today. Words that once were spoken by Jesus, where he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Lord, may there be people who sense your presence here this morning. They feel the nudge of your Holy Spirit to come and to give their hearts to you today. We ask this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We have been following Jesus during some turbulent times. I want you to know that, you know, it wasn't a piece of cake. It wasn't a bed of roses for Jesus as he ministered in his day. So don't think it should be that way in your life either. We know that he has been accused of being insane and crazy by his own family. We've talked about that in different gospels. He has been accused of being the prince of demons, Beelzebub, if you remember that name, by some of the teachers of the law who came from Jerusalem to hear him. And they accuse him of being a prince of demons, actually being Satan himself. How can Satan cast out demons, you know, if that's who he was? He has been rejected by his hometown friends in the synagogue that he grew up in. And we have both Matthew and Mark, the two gospel writers who were disciples of Jesus, who mentioned this. Today we read and we hear from someone who is not one of the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, but we hear from Luke. Luke was not one of the disciples that Jesus chose to follow him. Luke is a historian. So Luke is going to approach the life of Jesus by asking a lot of questions to a lot of people, going to different places to find out more about who is this Jesus that so many people have heard about or have come to know or spent time with him. He wants the truth. And so he gives us more details in what Matthew and Mark said in their gospel about this very incident, this account that we have before us. Luke says a lot of things that we do not find in Matthew or Mark. So it's a little bit longer. So we add some things that will help us to understand what we've heard the previous Sundays. So this is the place, the time where Jesus, in Nazareth, his hometown, he's 30 years old, maybe a little bit older than that, but he's been a part of Nazareth for at least 30 years. The people know him well, the people know his family very well. He is asked to read the scriptures for that particular worship service at the synagogue. And he finds Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2. He reads, it says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." That's, he's talking about blind people, people who cannot see. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We find that in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 17, what the year of Jubilee is, the year of the Lord, the same thing. So he goes back talking about something that these people should have understood or have known or have heard about a number of times throughout their lives. Jesus rolled up the scroll and then he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. That was a common thing that would be done after you read the scriptures. You would sit down because that's when you would teach or you'd hear from the people asking questions about what you just read. So everything's perfect. I mean, everything's like it always has been. Until Jesus makes this statement. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And you can about imagine that the congregants were going like, "What did he just say? He's claiming to be the Messiah. Who does he think he is? We know this guy's family. We know him. He grew up here." Jesus knows what the people in the synagogue are thinking. He knows what they will say as well before they even say it, because he knows their hearts, just like he knows your hearts here this morning. He knows where your thoughts have taken you out of this church. "Did I turn on the oven right? Or did I put out the meat to unthaw so we can grill it when we get home? Is there enough gas in the car or the vehicle we drove with here today?" Our mind goes all over the place rather than coming here to think why we're here. We come to worship him. Jesus knows they will say that, "Do in our hometown what we have heard you do in other places." They've heard a lot of things about this Jesus, what he has done, the ministry he's taken place. He's done some very incredible things that have gotten back to them. In other words, these guys are saying, "Do the same miracles here in Nazareth that we have heard you do in Capernaum." Capernaum was really, became Jesus, the headquarters. That he lived and worked out of Capernaum and as he traveled around. But Capernaum became his place. And it was there where he also called some of the disciples who were fishermen. Because Capernaum is right along the Sea of Galilee, the north side. Jesus is amazed at the unbelief that he is hearing in his own synagogue. Remember that? He only could heal a few people because of the people's unbelief. It's the only time where we hear that Jesus was amazed in Scripture. Amazed because of the unbelief that he ran into, that he heard from his own hometown congregation. The people that have been a part of that church for how long? Their whole lives, probably. So Jesus points out to two events, and he goes back to the Old Testament. He goes back to prophets that these people would know and understand. Elijah is the first one, very powerful prophet. He reminds them of Elijah, which goes back to 1 Kings chapter 17. And Jesus makes a statement. He says, there are a lot of widows in Israel, but God did something for this widow in Zarephath, near Sidon. She had a young boy, and she's a widow, which means her husband is gone. She only had enough food for herself and her family, and she was done. She had a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jar. That's all she had, and here comes Elijah saying, fix me something to eat. How would you like that? And you know what this lady did? This is all she had. She was planning on making this last meal for her, her family, her young son. And then in her mind's eye, she says, then we're going to die because this is all we have. We're done. And now a guy wants to come and eat what I have left over. She made a cake out of the flour and the oil. She fed Elijah. But something amazing happened is that the flour kept coming back, and the oil was enough oil was always there for mealtime. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? How could that be? Her young son got sick, and he got so sick that she came. This widow came to Elijah and said, my son is so sick that now he's died. He's dead. And Elijah says, give him to me. And he takes her young son. He goes upstairs in the house, and he does something that I've never done in my life, and I don't know if I ever would. But he puts the young boy on a bed, and then he lays on top of him. Not once, not twice, but three times. And the son came back to life, and he picked up the boy, brought him back alive, and gave him to his mom. A widow in Zarephath. Amazing. And then he uses another story. Something that happened, that this is with Elisha. He's the prophet that followed Elijah. Elisha tells Naaman to go into the Jordan River and dunk himself seven times in order for his leprosy to go away. Now, was Naaman saying like, okay, I'll do that right now? No, he wasn't. He wasn't going to do it. And somebody finally convinced him, like going, hey, it's just do what he says. Reminds me of a time many, many years ago, I had a guy in church. As I'm reading the text of Naaman, he was up on the front, and he was acting it out what I was reading. And so he would hold his finger over his nose and raise up his hand, and he'd go, whoops, I better watch what I do here. I'll fall out of the pulpit here. About the sixth time he went down, we heard a rip. He blew out his pants, and the look on his face was worth 1,000 words. And I just said, "Warren, exit stage left," which he backed up, and he backed out the door out the side, because we knew what, everybody knew what happened. So I never forgot Naaman because of that incident. But Naaman went and washed himself, and he was cleansed of leprosy by listening to what Elisha told him to do in the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is understandably a very dirty, dirty river. So you have two prophets, two people, one woman, one who's a man, and they have different needs. But both the widow and Naaman, guess who they were? To the Jews, they were Gentiles. God did something wonderful, something great, some miracles with Gentiles. The Jews didn't like the Gentiles. Because they were children of God, God should do everything for them. The pure Jews did not like the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were part Jewish and part something else. But they had nothing to do with the Samaritans didn't have nothing to do with the Jews. So you kind of got that rivalry going on. It goes way back centuries. And Jesus knows that even in his hometown, the people who knew him the best are the ones who don't want to have anything to do with him. What an incredible thing that happens in this synagogue. There's a riot. The leadership, the people in the church kind of got up and they pushed Jesus out of their sanctuary, out of the synagogue, and that they didn't, you know, they just didn't want him out the door. They weren't done yet. They were going to push him out of town, up to a hill where they knew there was a cliff. And there is a cliff in Nazareth. It's called Mount Precipice to this day. I don't know where the synagogue was in relationship to this cliff, but we were there. We saw how far down it was. And he definitely would have been killed. Those who knew Jesus the best were so mad that by the time they got up to the brow of that cliff, the hate was so intense they wanted to kill him by pushing him off the cliff. And it says in our text that Jesus just walked right through the crowd. No one touched him. Because it wasn't his time yet to die. It wasn't his time. But this is the last time we hear of Jesus going to Nazareth. We will never hear another thing about him going back to Nazareth. We'll hear everything about being in Capernaum or around the Sea of Galilee. Interesting. So what I'm saying here is that Jesus was rejected. How many of us here today have experienced being rejected by someone or something? It's better to be rejected by something versus than someone. Because rejection hurts, doesn't it? And even as I say that, you have pictures of a person in your brain that come to mind of, this person has hurt me. This person still hurts me. You've got that in your mind, and Jesus knows that. And then we find that in Luke's account, what happens right before this portion of Scripture? Jesus is taken out into the wilderness or the desert and is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. That's what Luke tells us. Do you think that was a fun time? Couldn't have been. There are people, and there's probably some here today, who feel that God doesn't want to have anything to do with them, that they've been rejected by God, and because of that, they're thinking that. You think that God's rejected them, and there's no hope for them. I want to tell you something. It's not true. God loves you just as much today and wants the best for you like he has always wanted if you just come to him and to receive his forgiveness, for you to say, man, Lord, I don't know what I was thinking or why I would even think this way. It's because the devil doesn't want you to go to him. The devil will give you any excuse possible to follow the devil and not to view God, not to see God who he is. I've heard this many times, never really understood it. It took a while before I got it. But hurt people hurt people. Chew on that for a while. Hurt people hurt people. St. Augustine, who lived centuries ago, said this about truth. People love truth when it enlightens them, when it's kind of like, oh, I get it, oh, I see it, yeah, oh, that's a, oh, that was deep, that was good. St. Augustine said, people like it when people are enlightened by the truth. But they hate truth when it accuses them. There's a lot of truth to that. You like it when you hear it's good stuff. But when you hear truth that you don't like, you get convicted. You feel you're accused. And then you don't like it. People, Jesus said this. And I'll close with this. In John 14:6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So far, so good. It's the second part that people have a difficult time with. Jesus says it, and he says this, no one goes to the Father except through me. No one goes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says. If you don't have Jesus in your life, in your heart, you're not going to heaven. Because Jesus said, there's no heaven unless you go through him. That you have him in your life. When Jesus becomes a part of your life, it means he then is on the throne of your life. You have just been pushed off, but not really pushed off. You willingly give up your seat of being your own person. And you let Jesus sit on that throne. And when he is on the throne of your life, there's some things that make a difference because of that. You can start in admitting what you have done that is wrong to other people. You can say, I am so sorry for what I've said or what I've done. And you'll follow it up by saying, will you forgive me? Hardest words to say. Will you forgive me? The Lord has shown me what I have done, what I have said. I am guilty. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? We find that Jesus always meets us with these words. I love you. I forgive you. I care about you. I want what's best for you. Let me lead you and guide you in life. Even in your own church, your own congregation, let me lead and guide you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you take us where we are. You don't say we need to change anything about ourselves or anything in the past, but you take us right where we are. And you can do what only you can do in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what we ask of you here today. Come. Change me where I need to be changed. Lord, fill my heart with you. Fill my cup that it flows over, and the good things that flow out of my heart and out of my cup will be the fruits of the Spirit. That whenever I get shaken, whenever I get bumped, whenever I get rejected, whatever comes out of my heart and cup, may it not be the things of this world, but may it be the fruits of your Spirit that comes out. For what is in comes out whenever it's bumped. Lord, this has been taught and spoken of many times over by missionaries from around the world. This is what makes Christians different from all other religious beliefs and worldviews. Do your work here in our midst this morning, Lord, because it's only you who can call us where we come, because you give us the strength and sometimes we come because it's called faith, by believing in you. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Will you please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. May you go in God's strength, knowing that he has a purpose for you. Even if you are mature and older than you once were, he's not done with you yet. He will work in and through your life. Even if the only thing you can do is to pray for those who are ministering in your place of ministry, for your church. Thank you, Lord, that you are kind and compassionate and gentle, and that your love endures forever for each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me for our closing song. Serve the Lord.